Welcome back to the Mini PC Show, Big Talk with Little Tiny Machines. My name is Brian Thomas. I'm here with Door to Door Geek and Richard Hughes. Guys, how are you doing today?
Doing good. I'm going to talk first since I see Door doing something.
That's what she said last night.
I've been hiding out in the Hughes Compound Southern Command, printing stuff up like mad.
Yes, you have been. I love some of those cases that you have over there.
Yep, I've been printing different type of high device cases and different cases for different uses. And my PiaWare sits in my yard shed, which, you know, we're here in Palm Beach, and so it's metal and studs, and that thing hooks up pretty good. I'm surprised the thing still works. And so I built a case that's going to have a 40 millimeter fan on it when the fans come from China eventually. And so that will be my Pi case that, you know, protects it and keeps it cold, so the rakes and whatever else that are in the shed there don't short out the connections on it.
Mm.
And after the show last week, I was jonesing for stuff, and I ordered from AliExpress, which it really should be called AliSlow, whatever the opposite of Express is. I ordered the Orange Pi IoT whatever, and what was the other one I ordered? So there were two Orange Pi devices, and one was the one that had the 2G radio, and the other was the low-end device I ordered.
Hmm.
So probably in a month I'll get that.
Oh, that's not a good feeling. I hate that.
And I bought the domain flyingrich.com, and I finally threw stuff on flyingrich.com because Dora was talking about, you know, I would give the URL for my YouTube channel where I do techie stuff. He's like, yeah, unless it's YouTube/Rich or Flying Rich, it isn't flying. So I'm aggregating my social media right now on flyingrich.com.
Well, I would say perception is reality, and giving a long URL versus everybody right. else just saying youtube.com/door-to-door-geek gives at least a perception of non-credibility. And I'd like you to look as credible as you are.
And thank you for making me better. So, okay, the two devices I got is the Orange Pi 2G IoT ARM Cortex 32-bit, I don't know what else it is, and that was $9.90. And the other device I got is the Orange Pi Zero Plus H5 quad-core Wi-Fi Bluetooth. And that's the one that has an HDMI but no Ethernet, but it is Wi-Fi. So, and that was a whole $19.90.
Counting shipping?
No, they tacked on. So the two items together were $38.45. Each one had like $3 worth of shipping on them.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've been just grimacing a lot. I went and got x-rays today, and I'm pretty sure they're going to come back and say I'm going to need some kind of surgery on my shoulder. Just hurts. Just constantly hurts for like the last 2 weeks. Doesn't matter if I'm picking something up or whatever. Just hurts. And can't basically do anything above my head without having pain. So,
buddy, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know what I just heard this morning, which I've been living on Motrin for I don't know how many years now, because I'll work out at the gym, and if I got to be very conscious of my posture, otherwise I injure my back when I'm working out. And so, you know, I'll pop 3 Motrin, you know, at 7, 8 a.m. I'll pop 3 like around 5 o'clock. I'll pop another 3 at night before I go to bed. The story came out today in the news, which, you know, this stuff can change any time, is that ibuprofen doubles your risk of heart attack. Mm. Like, crap.
Not only that, but it causes hearing loss.
What?
In some
what?
Women.
What? So, so I don't know. I think I'll just stick with the back pain. Because yeah. I'm working out not to have a heart attack.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of drugs myself.
Yeah, I avoid unless absolute must. And my logic is if I'm taking med because of a pain, I'm also going to go to the doctor. And I try not to go to the doctor, if that tells you anything. So I try not to take the pills unless I really have no other choice.
Dude, tell the truth,
like
you
right
self-medicate.
Like right now, I also have a shooting pain going through my cheek up here, which I'll go to the doctor, and the doctor will say, I think you need to go to the dentist. And the dentist will say, no, there's nothing wrong. It's a sinus infection. And I know this because it's happened every year for the last 8 years.
Could be allergies.
It stems from, well, and then a clinic doctor said, the problem is your tube between your ear and your nose is too thin. You have a narrow tube.
Your eustachian tube.
What do you call the tube? Yeah. And he said, it's just too narrow. And when I was a kid, every year I got an ear infection. Mm-hmm. Every single year. So this is what I get when I get older, but now it seems to cost me 3 times to get stuff fixed. So I wait until I'm on the verge of just choking somebody out.
You got to pop the Claritin, man.
Yay! Claritin does do nothing. It's a sinus infection. It ain't a allergy.
Well, I had things that happened on a regular basis. I'd get an upper respiratory infection twice a year, and I finally figured out that it was brought on by allergies, you know, post-nasal drip, which led to it. So if I take something before that occurs, I avoid that.
Yeah, I don't really have any allergies that I know of, and I just know my nose has been broken about 20 times, so I think that might have something to do with it.
You're supposed to hit the other guy with your hands, not your face.
Well, you know, they mistook me for my brother. Yeah, that was fun times.
Are you saying your brother was a fighter or somebody that got hit a lot?
No, he was a mouthy guy. That's what he was. I will say, I the only update I have in the realm of mini PC since last week is I gave my purchased coupon to Rich, I believe it was now about 10 days ago, to get the Pinebook 14-inch.
Oh, yeah.
And you haven't gotten it yet, Rich?
No. Is there, like, order tracking or anything I can... I'm just going through my email here.
I then got a couple days after that, I had a friend say to me, do you want my Pinebook 14-inch? I don't have the money to get it. So I said, wait. How many days is the coupon good for? He said something like 10 days. I said, okay, in 8 days, let's go back over this. And he pinged me back again last night and said, okay, 8 days are gone. Do you want it or not? I had to jump on it, especially because I keep hearing it has a 8-plus-hour battery.
That's nice.
Yeah, so I did order the Pinebook 14-inch. I do have the coupon code there, and I do have thank you for your order number. I did also order the 2-meter-length USB to Type-H barrel cable.
Oh, crap. It's got a wacky cable?
It has a barrel connector, which we talked about last week. So I got the USB to barrel connector, so I can basically charge it anywhere I want. I don't have to be by a power outlet. I do not see any tracking information, at least in my book and in my email. And I'll say, I know of at least, because I did get pinged on Twitter today for somebody else who bought basically the exact same sets that I got, the 14-inch plus the barrel connector. I honestly believe Podnuts alone has given this company close to, if not $1,000 from all the people who are ordering this.
Mm-hmm.
So I really hope it's a good product or else they're going to have a lot of people mad at them. And I do acknowledge this is in beta. Hopefully the hardware is at a good state and the only issues are software, because that's what I'm hearing and I'm reading when I look at their forums and people are talking about it. It seems like most of the issues are software related. So hopefully they all get fixed soon enough.
Yeah, I'm clicking around their site. I'm trying to figure out how to track my order, but I haven't found anything yet, even to log in.
No, you don't even need to be able to log in to place the order. You just get an order and you get an order number.
Right.
It did say in the order that it's basically coming from Hong Kong. So we talked about Ali, not Express. I'm going to give this, I would hope, if it comes in under 2 weeks, I'll be happy. If it comes in 3 weeks, that's what's normal. If it takes more than 3 weeks, I'm going to be a little upset.
Okay, man, so I love Amazon so much.
I ordered this 7 days ago. Yeah, you get spoiled with the whole Amazon thing.
Well, we all do. And Amazon now said they're going to lower their non-prime 2-day shipping total down to $25.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Walmart.
Which is making me think more and more, why the hell do I have Prime?
Use the video at all?
I don't use the video
really?
At all. I don't watch any video
at
all, or TV, or commercials, or banjo concerts, or anything.
I was a big fan of Top Gear, which, you know, the guys from Top Gear are now on Amazon.
Yeah.
So I've been watching that occasionally. And Dora, I might be a little bit more than you in one way that I actually, I watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. last night, and when it got to the chick flick parts, I'm like, Dora's saying it's a chick flick show. I just hear you say
it's a soap opera.
It's a soap opera.
Yeah.
And it's with really bad effects.
And they're
special effects.
And they're going to the cliffhanger season finale next week. And I'm like, crap, I know it's going to get good. And then they're going to leave you hanging.
Well, that's what they get paid right to do. And I don't take advantage of Amazon Music whatsoever, do I take advantage of any of the Amazon cloud.
What? You're missing out.
Yeah. Storage.
Yeah, I'm not leveraging all of that. You're right.
You're missing
out. Not using any of it, partially because I don't trust it.
In what way?
I don't trust Amazon cloud storage whatsoever.
In what way? Like,
because they will slow you down.
Okay.
There is no mechanisms in any operating system that I know to set up things to automatically communicate with it.
Right.
Like a Dropbox type tool. The only way I've ever heard people connecting to Amazon cloud services is with Jungle Disk.
The heck is that?
And that hasn't really been a thing for 8 years.
Because I know Pat backs up to Glacier. That's what he's...
Right, I'm sure that's an SSH rsync type thing that he has, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he's probably doing something that.
Well, yeah, I use InSync to connect to Google Drive. Unfortunately, it is spelled just like the bad boy band, InSync, to Google Drive. Google Drive, $9.99 a month for a terabyte.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to... And I get really good speeds. That's one of the things. I love the fact that I get really good speeds. Music... I'm a YouTube Red guy because I can't stand watching any ads on any videos that I watch ever. Hence the reason why anytime you go to anything that I do on anything YouTube, the monetization is not checked in any shape, way, or form.
Unlike what I do.
Because I don't want to put other people through that.
Well, I just realized something about Google Music. I uploaded about 3,000 songs to Google Music. And my big thing was having all that music on an SD card for me was okay, but after a while it just got out of hand. Moving from phone to phone. So moving it to the cloud was great, and the fact that I could do that for free was even better. And streaming all my music was fine. And that data was not an issue for me. But ever since they kind of migrated to this paid subscription for Google Music, when you ask for music, and I probably said this before on the show, they put their playlist music before your own content time.
You have your settings wrong. All you got to do is open Google Music, slide the left, and say basically your music only. I'm trying to remember the vernacular.
Oh, but it gets even better. So with Google Home, I know for a fact that I have the CD box for Led Zeppelin. So I have almost every song under the sun for Led Zeppelin. So I know for a fact that I have this... a particular song, and when I ask my Google Home to play it, I'm sorry, that song is not in your library. Are you joking? It will not play it for me, no matter what I ask it to do. And come to find out through a little research, you cannot play your own content via the Google Home. You have to do a workaround, and Google knows this, but they refuse to do anything about it.
Well, you still can't schedule a meeting either.
That's another thing. Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot that these voice assistants to me can't do just as of yet. But since I can't watch any ads on YouTube, I pay for the Red. And since I pay for the Red, when I do want music, I use my phone and just Google Play Music. And on the browser, it actually ain't bad, in my opinion. So I don't use that on Amazon either.
But my thing is, how many times do you have to pay for the same access? So. I have Google Prime. I mean, not Google Prime. I have Amazon Prime. I enjoy the music. I enjoy the storage for my photos, and I enjoy the purchasing options that I have with shipments and so forth, and the video streaming. I don't watch it all the time, but there's some shows that I do watch. On top of that, so I enjoy the music, but for me to get certain kinds of music that I want, now I have to pay them more money to get more music. And I'm like, well, how much? Do I have to keep paying? And now with Google Red, Google Red, or YouTube Red, rather, the same thing goes. So now that I pay for that, how much do I have to keep paying for more content? Almost the same content, in a sense. I don't know.
Well, with YouTube Red, I'm doing the family plan, which equates to just under $2 per user per month.
Right.
So to me, that's not a bad deal. The storage is just about $10 a month. Most of the storage providers are the same about price. With Amazon, I don't even know the limit. I literally don't know the limit. But I know there's no easy way for me to have automated backup to it. I'm literally getting close to just canceling the Amazon Prime.
Oh.
Just because if it only costs $25 to get 2-day shipping, what the hell am I paying for?
Yeah.
Is it $25 for free shipping or $25 for 2-day shipping?
$25 for free 2-day shipping.
Oh.
Yeah. So I don't know what the hell I'm paying them for. Pretty soon, I mean, if I watch the video, if the kids watch the video or the wife watched the video, I would probably keep it.
Mm-hmm.
But with Netflix, which is, there's another thing you're paying for.
Yeah.
Netflix and a $200+ a month cable bill. I mean, I don't know what the hell they don't have.
After a while, it just feels like I'm getting nickel and dimed with another monthly bill.
Well, and it's like the laws, like expenditures will never go down. Government will never shrink. Taxes will never decrease over the long run, only slowly increase in every different way that they possibly can. I will say, there's a real quick mini thing that I want to make sure we talk about, just because I found out about this literally, I think, the day after we podcasted last. Line 411 in the notes. We've talked about a lot. What's the perfect OS for your mini computer?
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people want to use it for HTPC needs. Some people want to use it for productivity needs. Some people want to use it for, you know, agenda type things. This is the only one that I've seen that I can safely say starts to approach answering every single person's need out of a mini computing operating system. And it's called Volks PC OS. Which, of course, Volks, German people's Volkswagen. Volks OS basically runs side by side at the same time a Debian Linux operating system running, I believe, an XFCE desktop, yep, next to a full Android instance running at the same time. And you can essentially alt and tab between the two OS.
Nice.
Wow. That is nice.
So,
in theory, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm wondering what the performance is like.
Well, number one, it ain't free. They expect you to pay $15 in order to have the right to run this operating system,
mm-hmm,
which is their right. If they want to charge for it, they can.
Yeah.
The only device I think right now that they officially support is the Odroid C2 with 2 gigs of RAM. Okay. Unless they have a really intricate suspend hibernate thing when you alt tab back and forth,
mm-hmm,
I don't see how 2 gigs is enough for good performance in both of the operating systems.
Now,
it might be acceptable, but I'm not going to say good.
Does one OS sleep when the other runs, or are they running both simultaneously?
I'm going to guess they're both running simultaneously, and I'm going to guess, well, see, here's the thing. I don't know which one's virtualized, because there's no way they're both virtualized. I'm positive one is the native, one is the virtualized. On Android, for years, we've had people saying how you can easily do a cheroot and spin up a Debian, yeah, and then VNC into it. And yes, while it's true, it's unbelievably hokey and difficult to work around. And I know in the opposite, we can, but I can tell you my experience is virtualized Android in a Debian OS is not as clean as a virtualized Debian running in an Android OS, in my experience.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if they're doing it Docker style.
Honestly, the only way to find out is if you go and you pay the $15, which I haven't, literally only because of time. I just don't have the time to play with this. And I have to buy a second Odroid C2, because for me to go upstairs and disconnect that Odroid from the TV, I might have people throwing stuff at me, you know, because they like that. So I want to see if I can get a second Odroid C2 and if I can play with this, because here's the thing. If they do it right and they do it good, I don't mind paying $15. In reality, I'd rather pay them, sure, $15 if it means I'm going to get updates, if it means I'm going to get enhancements, if it means I'm going to get future support for it. I'm perfectly fine with paying for it.
Now, forgive me, is that, that's a one-time fee, right?
I believe so.
Okay.
All it says is you can buy it for $15.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. And I just made a purchase a little while ago with the Silicon Dust DVR service. Now, I'm not too sure if anyone's familiar with Silicon Dust. They do video capturing on the network. So you can take over-the-air HD signals or a cable card signal from your cable provider and put all your video streaming onto your network, so you can tune in with any kind of device on the network, whether it be a laptop or a handheld device, mini PC, or game console. And with that type of device, it's pretty much used as a cord cutter device. You don't necessarily have to go the cable route. You just get a high-def antenna and stream uncompressed HD content through your network, and it's crystal clear. It's perfect. Mm-hmm. But they had a nice DVR service that I was really interested in, where, you know, you could record content and store it on a hard drive or, you know, a Pi drive and so forth. And I thought that was really great. So it was $69 for the year. You know, if that's, if it's going to make things a little less complicated for me, without spinning up my own whatever have you and trying to manage that, then I'd be happy to pay the extra money for the service. It's just that after a while, I don't want to be stuck with all these different services that I'm paying for.
Right. You don't want to be a la carte to death.
Exactly. Exactly.
So. Well, I'll say the HD Home Run is a device made by this company as well. And everyone I know who has had an HD Home Run speaks very highly of it. Mm. So it's a credible company is what I'll say. I would question, though, I mean, how long has this been around? Is this in the United States? Is it based in the United States? And does this let me record copyright, copywritten content? And if so, how much longer is it going to be in business? Because it's going to get shut down by the federal government. Because everyone seems to get shut down when they allow you to record and access seemingly remote unless you're in with the companies.
Well, you raise a pretty good point. And that's the reason why I dropped some money down on them. They've been around for a while. And I really enjoy what they're doing. And listening to the CEO and how they're doing it, I think they're on the right track. You know, they're not shy of paying money to the content providers of who owns the content. You know, that they're not trying to skip around them or skip over them. I think that's a good revenue service for the content providers, and a good relationship between them and Silicon Dust. So unless they don't become too greedy, you know, that's, I think, where things can go a little sour, but I think they're on the right track. I know that Plex is kind of doing the same thing, but I'm not too sure what kind of relationships they have with their content providers. So,
I'll say $60 a year isn't horrible. I mean, it's literally $12 a month, I believe, mm-hmm. $15 a month, something like that. Mm-hmm. $5 a month.
I don't have my calculator. They said they'd be no math.
I know, I'm sorry. I like the promise of this is what I'll say. I really do like the promise of this. To me, it's going to be a question of interface. The wife is really liking the built-in DVR interface that she already has. She says she doesn't want to access anything when she's away from home. I can guarantee you if she wanted to access things that were away from home, she would be willing to learn this system is what I say. Mm. But yeah, they've done really good stuff for years. They're not new to this dance.
Right.
Yeah, and it says NAS is optional, but optional, but recommended. Makes sense. Yeah, so it's $60 a year. It looks like it says, which includes your $35 annual first year. So I'm guessing subsequent years are only $60 and not $95, if I read that right. So that's cool. Was this in the actual spreadsheet, Brian?
No, I didn't add that in there. What I did add in there was on line 417, the Fing box. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Fing. They've been around, I believe, since 2009.
Now, it sounded like mistaken. You said Thing. You're saying Foxtrot India November Golf.
That is correct. Foxtrot India November Golf. Fing is a application, Android and iOS application, and it's designed to do network inventory. So it you connect to your wireless network, and it scans all the devices on your network, and it gives you a pretty layout of what's currently on your network, MAC addresses, names, resolutions, IP addresses, and it allows you to scan each device to see what's open for ports. So, you know, if you're concerned about if this whatever device is on your network is wide open, you can close some ports that you don't want open. So I find it to be a good way to see what's currently on there. And they've actually come out with some hardware that goes along with their software. They had a Indiegogo, I believe, back in December, which was fully funded. And The name of the product is Fing Box. That's F-I-N-G Box. And it's a simple to use, easy drop-in network security and Wi-Fi troubleshooting box. You pretty much set it and kind of forget it. And it will alert you if there's anything fishy going on with your network, any network intrusion. And it still allows you to do some of the other cool things that the actual application does. And what I enjoy about this product so much is that there's no monthly fees. So what you see is what you get, pay one-time fee, and it just keeps working in the background for you.
Well, my first question is, I would want to nmap this thing.
Right.
And see what this thing has open and what this thing is communicating with. And I would, first thing I would do is block its internet access. Just because, I mean, when you don't own stuff in your network, because in reality, this is Nmap.
Yes.
With a nice UI.
Nagios.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure with a gorgeous UI, because this company's been around for at least 4 years is what I'll say. And their Android app, I can tell you, it took years for other people to catch up to how smooth their Android app was. So they know what they're doing. They absolutely know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But I don't understand how they can sell you something once, not have a monthly fee. And that's it. There has to be some other revenue stream they're either thinking of or planning of, either OS upgrades or something. I would have to think, because it's not fiscally responsible for them to sell you a device and then never get money from you again.
Yeah, so, no, I agree. And some of the things they have on here is that 24/7 monitoring, traffic and analysis, network scanning, 24/7 intrusion alerts, device status alerts, network status.
Well, then there you go. It's connecting back to their hub, because there's no other way for you to access it from the outside of your network unless this is opening ports in your router, which I have to believe it isn't doing.
Yeah, I'd be curious as well, too. I do know they do have a paid version of the Fing app as well as a free version.
Says 10 right. million downloads.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And I'll say this is what worries me. Not them, because there's little doubt in my mind they have the best of intentions. But this has happened a lot in Chrome, in browser add-ons.
Mm.
It's happened a lot with mobile applications. And that is the company, wow, I really like that guy's monitors. Oh, man, sexy. He had four of them standing up vertical in the video. Sorry, if you go to about 2 minutes and 40 seconds. Totally distracted me. But there's a lot of companies who've been doing stuff right. Doing stuff is the best in their ability. Thinking of the user first, putting out good product. Then it comes to a point where they run out of runway, aka they run out of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then they don't know what to do to make more money. And then what they do is they turn around, they sell the company to a nasty company who then figures out how to take advantage of everything that this company was doing beforehand. So if I don't see a reoccurring revenue stream for this company, I don't see how it isn't just a matter of time until they have to sell out, and then everything that gets sent up to their company isn't sold off as information to other companies. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I would rather, honestly, I'd rather have a monthly or yearly fee. Because if you look at things like WatchGuard routers,
right,
or I'm trying to think of the other big brand names, what you pay for is updates to the AV scanning, updates to the detection, and you literally pay monthly fees to access the internet portal of the device. And for this kind of thing, there's honestly no reason why they couldn't just, as a nominal thing, just say, give us $1 a month, $12 a year. And if anyone balks at paying $12 a year for this kind of thing, if I was them, I wouldn't want them as a customer. You know?
Well, you have network operating systems like PFSense, where they have a library of applications that you can actually download. That will enhance your gateway or firewall or whatever you really want to turn your PFSense box into. And some of those apps are paid applications. Majority of them are free applications. But I can't imagine anything malicious was going on there. I mean, this is that I know the Fing company is a U.S. Resident company in its own. So that does provide
that makes me worry. No, that right there is where really? FISA courts can tell them to do anything and they can't tell us that they've been told to do it. That's the nature of doing business in the U.S. You can at any second be completely pwned by the federal government. And that's just the truth. I mean, that's just the way that our government is. That's who we elected into office.
Right. No, I agree. There are limitations to the statute of the law, but you still have rights as well, too, at some point down the road. But
So how much is it to get one of these devices straight up?
So I think I'm trying to find a final price here. I'm looking at all of the Kickstarter prices. And
yeah, I can almost never find what they're after campaign retail prices, because at least if you get in with the Indiegogo, it looks like $79 plus shipping cost, which to me, to be honest, $79 honestly might not be a bad thing at all. But I will say, if someone's going to get into your network, if they're going to get into your network, they're not more than likely script kiddies from down the street. You know what I mean? If someone's actually going to intrude into your network from anybody who's going to buy one of these, which is, you know, one of us, they're going to be pretty damn good at what they do.
Right.
You know what I mean? I would like to have this literally just to put it on its own network and monitor the bandwidth and sniff it.
And it does have a bandwidth monitor too, so.
I'm sure. And they've already raised 1,740% of their thing. Okay, yeah. It looks like fundraising ended December 14th, 2016.
Right.
And they only have one update. Oh, 11. Sorry, can't read. Dyslexia. 11 updates. So I hope they ship these things soon.
It looks like they should be shipping now. I'm not too sure where else you can get them other than if you didn't originally fund the project.
June 2017 is the estimation, at least. And this is one thing I do like about Indiegogo. Even though it ended December 24th, 2016, you can still go to it on Indiegogo and click get this perk, and you'll be put in with the backers. You'll be put at the end of the list, but you'll be put in as a backer and get it at this price. Mm-hmm. So that's one big plus, I gotta say.
Well, Dor, I certainly didn't come empty-handed. So if you are as paranoid as you sound, there's another device on line 423, which is, I think, a really simple solution for a universal box. And that's where if you wanted to put something like a pfSense on it, or you name it, your flavor of OSs. And this is a dual core ARM system on a chip processor. It's pretty much, it has two 1 gig Ethernet ports and one gig Ethernet port for a WAN port, but you can turn all three ports into a switch port if you wanted to. It's got a SATA interface for hard drive storage, one 3.0, one 2.0 interface, mini PCI for wireless peripherals as well too, and GPIO headers. I really, 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 really enjoy this box.
Damn, $49?
Yeah, it's wicked cheap, and well, it's very use case specific.
Mm-hmm. Do you know if this company, what conglomerate people, have ever had a successful Kickstarter?
I don't, and I didn't do a whole lot of research on that. When I first saw it, I was kind of goo-goo gaga over it, and I didn't do a whole lot of research on the company themselves, but no, that's a very good question.
The only reason I ask is because this looks damn good, and for it to come out of nowhere, I think I would be shocked.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I'd be shocked if this is literally the first thing they've ever done, because the video looks unbelievably professional, and it sounds professional. This does not sound hokey. This does not sound... I mean, if you look at the board itself, too, the board looks like this was done in professional means.
Right, right.
Okay, first off, Brian, I'm only paranoid if I'm not right. Let's first go with that.
No, you have a lot of valid concerns, absolutely.
Well, I hate to say it, I'm a government employee. I know what I'm not going to say anymore, just that. Anyone who wants to try to go ahead, think what I was going to say, because you're possibly right. This is really unbelievably interesting, because this to me is the kind of device that at least me and my friend Tracy Holtz have been dreaming about for at least 5 years now. He's been looking for a very small form factor device. You don't need a lot of megahertz. You don't need a lot of RAM. All you need is solid NICs in the device. And he's been looking for a 2 to 3 NIC small device for years. And we really did give up on it because the cheapest we've been ever able to find it is like 120, 130 kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, first brew, espresso, bin, board, entry, early bird. My Lord, that's a lot of words. $39 right now, and you can get in on the low-end one, quote-unquote, with 512 megs of RAM, ARM V8. Okay, now remember, we went through the Vs before, right? The lower the number the V, the lower the number after the V, the faster the processor. This is a V8. Okay, once you start to get into the V9, V10 arena, you're into the super unbelievably cheap and poor performing devices. Like, remember the old Android tablets you could get from eBay and stuff for like 20, 30 bucks? They were V10s. They were really slow. V8 is not an extremely fast processor, but like I said, I don't really think you need crazy fast processor. You're not going to have a GUI on this thing. You're not going to be running a desktop. It's going to be a network, appliance. To me, as long as the NICs, as long as all three of those NICs are gigabit,
mm-hmm.
and that USB 3 bus and the SATA bus is on their own bus, I don't have a problem with it at all. At all. Whatsoever. This, to me, looks like a really desirable piece of hardware, I want to say. Man. So you have 2 gigabit LAN ports, 1, I believe, gigabit WAN port, SATA, full-size SATA power, SATA interface, so it's technically not like eSATA. This is SATA, SATA, S-A-T-A, SATA, SATA.
Mm-hmm.
With USB 2, where you could have a printer hooked up to it technically if you want, USB 3 if you want really storage hooked up to it. MicroSD, I hope, is, I'm going to guess, is the OS. I'm going to guess there is no built on
eMMC or anything.
eMMC, yeah. Full GPIO ports, plenty of those ports, looks like. Marvel, Marvel, I think, thank thought, if it's spelled the same way, M-A-R-V-E-L-L, I believe that is like one of the bigger Ethernet companies that builds the actual ports. So I like that a lot. I like having that company a lot because honestly, that was one of the companies I've always had good Linux support on when I buy motherboards with Marvel processors on them,
mm-hmm.
or NICs, Marvel NICs on them. Okay, I might have to get behind this one. I'm not going to lie. And I just said I'm not going to lie, and I'm sorry. I apologize to everyone because I'm supposed to not say that things. But I'm, man, this is, okay. Yeah, so for $39, you can get the early one, $49, the regular one, 64-bit. Oh, you get double the RAM. You get 1 gig of RAM for $49. Yeah. And you get a Topaz switch with 3 gigabit Ethernet. Okay, so $69. You get the loaded model, which is also with a 12-volt external power supply. So you don't get a power supply? You get, okay, yeah. On the lowest, you get a USB one for power. The $49, you get the external power supply. And then you get a Wi-Fi and mini PCIe plus 4 gigabit. So, yeah, and if you, yeah, you have to scroll down, and then you see the rewards chart. I'm sorry. This is one of the companies that I think are doing their reward system right, where for each bump up, you get a little something extra, a little something extra, constantly encouraging you. You know, you can go up to the next level. You can do it. Come on. I know you can do it.
And they actually have this on Amazon Prime as well, too. It
What?
Yeah, it's not ready to ship yet, but they do have it available. So when it is available to ship, they can send that to you as well.
Well, that's smart. I got to say, that's pretty smart of them. Very, very good find. And honestly, I don't like... I don't really, because there's so many Kickstarter, there's so many Indiegogos, there's so many crowd supplies, there's so many, if you just, I dare you to go to Twitter and put in crowdsource, you will choke before you can read them all. It is so insane. It is literally going cuckoo crazy. And I typically, honestly, don't like backing or talking about things that have not already had successful Kickstarters. This is by Global Scale Technologies, Inc. Lu Wu, and then two people with no last names. previous collaborators funded today. I don't even know what that means, but that's what it says. Brian Chang, last log on May 10th, 2017. So it tells me the last time they logged in. That's actually pretty ingenious. I really hope this thing comes to fruition. I really hope they do a good job, and I really hope they just make it better, because this is a really interesting device.
Yeah, I agree. And to mimic what Rich was saying earlier, been kind of jonesing these past few weeks, or these past few days, actually, for network-attached storage devices, like roll-your-own network-attached storage. It's something I get kind of goo-goo gaga about with a small board computer that has either a SATA connector on it or eMMC with high dense storage on it. You know, nothing too crazy. A terabyte, 300 gigs. I think that's kind of cool, because you can shove it in somewhere. It doesn't take a whole lot of power. And if I need to dump a lot of data or a little bit of data on it, it's there for me. And I just think that's pretty cool.
Right. Now, just really quick, Espresso board, if you go to the updates again, 11 updates. Coincidence? I think not. March 22nd, they put out a backer shipping update, which is typically, okay, guys, we're starting to organize everything. Click here. Give us all your shipping information. May the 3rd, shipping update, 1 gig shipments and 2 gigs. So the 1 and 2 gig, it looks like, boards were starting to ship out. So it's becoming a real boy. It's, you know, getting out there kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I don't know when this started. I don't know when this ended, but it looks like it's already went through its cycle. It's 536 backers pledged $53,000, which, to be honest, for these kind of things, doesn't sound like a lot of money.
It doesn't. Them. Right.
So for them to still make it and them to still ship, I got to say, good job on them.
I'm sure they had funds already available to start this, whether they were short in other areas, and, you know, that might have spawned the reason for the Kickstarter.
I don't know. I just like it when companies keep their word and ship stuff. That's always a good thing.
Right. And if it's good and it serves a purpose, I don't mind getting behind it. You know, not if it's, like you said, vaporware and, I don't know, promising the moon and never delivering anything.
Right. Okay, do you guys have any other things you wanted to bring up?
I don't want to hog the whole show. I'll hold back for a little bit.
No, you're good, because for some reason I didn't pull up a whole bunch of stuff this week.
Well, I'll say there's two of them that are kind of linked. 416, but really line 419 in the notes. I'm sure we remember when Amazon Alexa came out, and then we were able to register as developers and then do Amazon Alexa on our Raspberry Pi devices. But the gimmick was, because we register for a developer account, it couldn't be voice activated. That was one of the contract agreements you had to make. You had to push a button or type a command or some other way to get it to start off. Well, the same kind of thing happened now with Google Home, to where now you can register as a developer for Google Home, and you can do the same kind of thing on your Raspberry Pi. You can get Google Home, but you have to have a button in order to get it initiated by the agreement. You can't do a voice. Now, you and me both know, everyone out here knows, it's not hard to figure out how to have a mic that's always on and how to examine and wait to hear special magic words like open sesame, and then have it automatically act and start to work. You also know, if you're doing that, you're not going to document it and publicize it, because then Google will kill it and shut it off, or Amazon will kill it and shut it off and kill your developer account and cause you hard times. So I'm sure if you look hard enough, you'll be able to find how to voice activate it. But I'm not worrying about that. I'm okay with a button, I'll say, for now. But now if you take a look, there's a tool called Assistant Pi, AssistantPi. What this does, this combines both Amazon Alexa services and Google Home services into one application.
Nice.
So you can select which one you want to ask the question to. So this is where you can have the best of both worlds, Brian. Hypothetically, you get better music experience on Amazon services, but then you want the ability to also auto magically Chromecast things at the same time, and you want to access your Google Calendar agenda, let's say, and you really like the good morning Google kind of thing, then this might be the exact kind of thing that you need to get up and running. This was the one I really wanted to try to work on to get up and running. But, you know, having three doctor's visits alone this week has not helped my time. So I haven't had any chance to even look at this to see how viable it is. But I've seen more than a couple websites talk about this. And it looks to me, the really good solution. And some of us appreciate having a button to interact with it and not just have it always on, always listening.
This is pretty cool, Dor. As long as this doesn't do Siri, because I think personally Siri is as dumb as a stump. But this looks pretty cool. The only reason why I say that is because I was looking for a customer service number this afternoon, and I asked Siri 5 times, could not perform the task for me. Google, one shot, it was phenomenal. So,
well, supposedly Cortana is coming out with a hardware device, and supposedly Apple is looking at some kind of home Alexa type device. I don't see how either of them have a remote chance of being successful, but I've been wrong so many times, I'm really afraid.
Well, and the stats are, Amazon is, you know, the bear in the room or the elephant in the room. They own the market, and Google Home is a second, but it's like a distant second. It's not like, you know, Amazon has 49% of the market and Google has, you know, 39%. It's dramatically different. I forgot what the numbers were, but it's not even close.
Yeah, I'll say it's one of those things that can change at any point in time, because to me, none of them are doing it absolutely right. They both, everyone who's doing it has gaping holes in what they can do.
Yeah.
And all it takes is that one to come out and it's going to blow the doors of everything. For all we know, this is the kind of thing that, I don't want to say nobody, Samsung could literally come out with a device in the next year that just destroys them, both of them. It's possible. It's not going to probably happen, but it's possible. Because like, you know, with the Google Home, you can't play music you own. The hell does that make any sense? You know, does that make any sense to anybody? With Amazon Alexa, I'll say, I know it isn't perfect. I'll just say, I also laugh hysterically. I've listened to a couple tech shows the past week where they say they're the people who put the tape over their webcam on their laptop, and they said that they turned off their Amazon Alexa or their Google Home out of fear of something happening. And but yet they carry around a cell phone all day, which has a mic and a camera on it, which is 10 times more vulnerable. Just to show how little they actually use their brain in the journalistic kind of side. But I'll also say this. The weakest link is what always happens. I don't think the weakest link is Google Home or Amazon Alexa. You know what I mean? There's definitely weaker things out there. So for people to worry about them invading and listening, honestly, I think there's better things for you to worry about.
Right.
You know, I could spend all day worrying about a comet hitting my house, and I wouldn't be wrong. But everyone would look at me like I'm crazy, because what's the real likelihood of it happening, you know?
Until it happens.
I'll say slim to none, but, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, that was certainly a good find. And I've seen that floating around in the Google Plus community. But I'm extremely curious on what it would be like to put this little device together.
Yeah, it should be cool. Now, last week we talked about, we're talking about a cheap $150-ish computer, and I cannot remember who the company was that we were talking about. It wasn't Intel. It might have been Zotac. Well, there's two more hovering right around the same price. 423 and 424. 423 is a Melee, M-E-L-E. And the only reason I know Melee is I have in the past owned Melee Android set-top boxes.
Mm-hmm.
None of my Android set-top boxes were ever spectacular. Number one, never were they spectacular. They were pretty cool. They worked pretty well. You had to have a touch of patience because you had to click and wait almost inevitably all the time. But here's one, Melee PCG03 quad core mini PC. It says, for $159 over at geekygadgets.com. And I'll say Geeky Gadgets, man, they got a whole bunch of stuff. Hey, I mean, if you have OCD, don't go there. This has an Intel Celeron N3450 quad-core processor, which I do believe is the processor we've said at least 100 times on this show. I mean, it keeps coming up over and over again. I'm guessing because it's not the newest, but it's solid. And I'm guessing it doesn't cause a lot of heat. And I'm guessing it really isn't expensive because it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You can get up to 4 gigs of RAM with 32 gig eMMC built in it. The PC comes preloaded with Windows 10 Home 64-bit OS with 4K Ultra HD video streaming supported. It does have a gigabit Ethernet port and a slot for an M.2 hard drive. SSD does have USB 3 and USB-C ports, HDMI is HDMI 2.0 and VGA ports, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, blah, 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 blah. It is also expected, it says, to have a i3, i5, and even an i7 Skylake and Kaby Lake processor versions available in the future. I'll say this little box, I'm going to keep my eye on it.
Yeah.
Because I really do like the idea of having a little Intel box like this to get some certain things done, because as it turns out, I might have no choice but to run Windows on a computer, on at least one computer in my environment. Might not have a choice, is what I'll say. So this might be one of the things that I look at to fulfill that need.
The only one thing that stands out is the 32 gigs of eMMC storage. Now, I have two devices that run on Windows with that kind of storage, and the operating system itself takes up a good chunk of that space. I just wish that they would have a 64 gig option or 128 gig option. I think the 128 gig would be a sweet spot. 64 gig would be the minimum. But 32 gig, that doesn't leave you a whole lot of room to work with.
Oh, no, you're guaranteed to have problems sooner or later.
Yeah.
When you get enough Windows updates, that drive will fill up. It might take more than a year, I don't know, but it will fill up.
Right. It just forces you to start from scratch. Now, if you're not a huge power user and you don't require a whole lot of applications, and you just simply maybe, you know, Netflix, email, some surfing, maybe one or two games, one game. I think you'll do just fine.
Yeah, one small
game. Yeah, Cody, for instance, that would be great.
Right. Yeah, and then the second device here on the list, this is the polar opposite, okay? This is a shuttle computer, and shuttle's been around for a really long time.
Yeah.
They made a Android mini PC that they're unveiling for less than $150. Not entirely sure what less than $150 means.
$149.
Be nice, yeah. It'd be nice if they actually told us a price. And what this basically says it has in it is a ROC chip. ROC chip isn't the premier processor. It's a fair processor, I want to say.
142 door.
ROC 142. Okay. ROC chip octa-core processor. Doesn't say the hertz. I'm hoping it's at least like 1.2 or 1.5 gigahertz processor. It says it's running preloaded with Android 5.1.
Ooh.
That's not new.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to say that's a horrible thing. I'm just going to say it could be better. 2 gigs of RAM, 16 gig of eMMC. To me, both of them need to be at least a little bit higher. It also has support for a 2.5 drive bay, gigabit Ethernet, 3.5 audio jack, HDMI, okay ports on it. I really wish it was a little bit more powerful with a little bit newer operating system, because Shuttle is one of the companies I think really could, really, really, really could do good stuff. But this to me looks like it might not fit the bill.
Yeah, I agree. The 2.5 drive bay option I think is killer. I know we were saying that a little earlier. That's a pretty cool option.
Yeah, it's definitely a plus.
What do you think, Rich?
You know, either of them would be fun. I think the Melee would be the one I'd go with.
Mm-hmm.
And if I got a choice, and actually the Shuttle, was that an ARM processor? What processor was it?
Yeah.
It was a ROC chip. It was an ARM, yeah.
Yeah, you know, just as far as binaries go, it's easier to find the Intel binaries than the ARM binaries. And I hate to say that on this show, but depending on what you're loading and installing, you may find an issue with that. So if I can go Intel, I really enjoy going Intel. And I do like the eMMC is a big deal.
Mm.
stuff runs fast, and it's greatly appreciated.
And expensive, too.
Yeah, but both of them were, you know, $150. So if you can choose the one with eMMC and, you know, an Intel processor, that tips me to the Melee.
Well, you know, with the Intel Proc, you'll have more versatile things going on. And the bad thing, and here's the honest-to-goodness truth, the bad thing about ARM processors is that it's open, which means anybody can make an ARM processor, mm-hmm. which unfortunately means that everyone who makes an ARM processor needs to go out of their way to make sure that the drivers are in the kernels of the operating systems correctly.
Right.
Or else you get random support.
Correct.
And speaking of random support, line... 425 in the notes. I literally laugh at people who are mentioning this board because it's painfully obvious they don't have much experience in the realm of mini board computers. It's be the honest truth. And this is the Asus Tinkerboard Mini PC is now available for the U.S. to buy for $60.
I put this on there. I wasn't too sure if we talked about this or not.
Yeah, we did. We have, over time, but...
Yeah, not a whole lot. And the main reason is, who in the hell thinks in a year from now, or 6 months from now, or 2 years from now, there's going to be another Asus board, or more than one of these Asus boards out there at all?
Yeah.
Number one.
All right.
Number two, who thinks it's going to be sold at a reasonable price anytime soon? Because it's not. $60 is not a reasonable price for this. For the same price, you can get an Odroid XU4.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Much more power.
Yeah.
Okay. Much more friggin' power than this board. There is nothing about this board that I see that's fairly priced or desirable, unless you really do like the name Asus.
No, if
that's really the
if
only.
It had. Oh, it does say gig Ethernet. Okay, so you do have gig Ethernet. If it had USB 3 and gig Ethernet, then you're like, get my interest. My antenna are perking up.
Right. Well, here's the real thing, okay? It almost doesn't matter, too. It almost doesn't matter what this board's price is. It almost doesn't matter what this board's name is. It almost doesn't matter that this thing doesn't have USB 3. It almost doesn't matter that this thing doesn't have a lot of other features on it, because it's using a chip that I haven't found in any other one of these mini computer boards, which means you're not going to be able to run a huge sloth of the operating systems on it.
Yeah, I know, you're right.
Okay. Right now, they only have one quote-unquote supported operating system, and it's called Tinker OS. Okay. I would call it Cantankerous OS, but that's just me, because here's the whole gimmick. How many people do you think, literally, I'm just asking the listeners, stop right now what you're doing and stop and think. How many people right now around the globe are thinking about a Raspberry Pi? How many people in the world are working on a Raspberry Pi? And then how many people around the world do you think right now are actually submitting code for the Raspberry Pi? Okay, now whatever numbers you got, divide them by 1,000,
right?
And then you might have the people who are on a Tinker board. You might have the people who are thinking about a Tinker board, and you might have the number of people who are actually working on the Tinker board. Because I'm willing to bet the only people who are putting stuff in the Tinker OS are Asus employees.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a priority for them. This is not a cash cow for them. Again, in 6-8 months, I could be completely proven wrong. This thing could explode. The price could drop to $20. They might have two or three other Tinker boards, but I'm willing to bet many lunches to anyone willing to bet me that this is going to be the last board they put out like this. And it's already achieved the height of its success.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Dor. I think this kind of thing muddies the waters a little bit and makes it a little difficult for newbies just trying to get into and get a little bit of exposure when it comes to small board computing, microprocessors. So if you were to come across something like this, hey, it looks just like a Raspberry Pi, it's probably the same thing, you know?
Well, and has the name, Asus, I've heard of Asus, it must be good, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah, so the only thing I really say is Asus, unless you really do put a lot of support behind this, shame on you. Any other ones you guys want to poke at?
There was another networking x86 box but I can't seem to find it on the list here. It was by Netgate, the RCDFF 2220 board. I thought I had it on here. I can't seem to locate where it is.
2220 is not mentioned anywhere on the sheets. I see an... I thought it said x86. I'm blind.
Well, my apologies. Maybe we can... I don't know how to push it. I tried going to the pocket here and...
You could just drop it in the chat.
Okay. Let's do that. Let's see. All right, Mr. Chat, there you go. Bam. This board is $198, and it's very similar to, which board was that we originally brought up? That was $49. The Express Bin by Marvel. Very similar to that, but something like this is to be used more in the... like a factory type of environment, an industrial type of environment. But what I thought was really interesting about it, it's a universal white box. So you can put CentOS, Debian, FreeBSD, OpenBSD, OpenSense, PFSense, you name it. it can go on here. And, you know, it has your familiar... characters, USB 2.0, USB 3.0.
I don't see USB 3.0 on it.
Oh, I thought we had 3.0 on here.
No. No, I see 2.0.
My apology.
Hate to say it, I'm digging the other board better.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It was not on here.
So this has a dual core Atom, which I'm not thrilled about. 4 gigs of eMMC, which is almost nothing. And... let's see, how much? 2 gigs of RAM, which is decent. But the dual core Atom, I'm not up on the Atoms. That might be a kick-ass Atom, I'm not sure. Couldn't tell you.
I think it's a decent Atom. One of the little niceties I'll say I see on this one is it says it supports Core Boot, which is one of those things moving forward. We've all heard about the Intel fiasco about security. We're going to have this is the thing, I've heard about that Intel thing for at least now a year and a half, 2 years from certain people. It's just now it's finally coming to fruition. It's becoming real. We're going to have the same kind of thing happening with some of these closed sourced UEFI bootloaders where there's stuff running in them that people really don't know about, and it's going to come out and be a security issue sooner or later. Core Boot is one of those things. It's in the open. It's in the clear. It gets patched timely. I don't think it's going to have as many issues. So I think in the future, Core Boot's going to be one of those things that at least have some importance associated with it. So that's one plus.
I could have sworn I saw 3.0 on here. Yeah, that processor was clocked at 1.4. I'm a 1.7 gigahertz. But yeah, I think I agree with you. I actually like the other board better.
I'm gonna guess this one is this one is looks like it's made by a company. It's not a Kickstarter. You can already buy it, even though it's out of stock, at least until May the 6th, it looks like. Which already passed, so they have to update their website. I'm gonna guess this what this is intended for people to make small appliances like right now. It does have a M.2 connector for SSDs. It does have a mini PCIe slot as well, too. So those are two niceties about it. And it looks like a good form factor. So you slap a box around it, and I think it could work. But for 100, I do think 198 is a touch high.
You can get it shipped with an actual metal case. And that was the link that I thought I had posted to the show notes. But excuse me, I can't seem to locate where that went to.
Gotcha.
Too many windows. I got too many windows open up here.
I understand completely.
But no, that's pretty much what I have.
Okay. If that's it, Brian, is there any parting words you have, or anywhere you would like to send people who want to find out more information about you or connect with you?
Yeah, hit me up on the Google Plus community. You can find me at Ask the Cable Guy, and I'd be more than happy to spin up a conversation and chit-chat cable stuff or DVR, silicon dust stuff or networking-type products and conversations. So, yeah, more than happy to shoot the stuff with you.
That's not what you told me.
Cool. No? What did I tell you?
I said, leave me alone.
Lose the number.
I'll get a restraining order.
Hey, Rich, where can people catch up with you?
Like I said at the beginning, flyingrich.com. I'm aggregating my social media there. So if I say it or do it and it's on the net and I think it's important to you, it'll be there. So flyingrich.com.
Very cool. Very cool. And I want to thank everyone for downloading. Thank everyone for their support. If you want to know more about this show or contact me, just go to podnuts.com, podnutz.com. Click on the contact link. And with that, we will talk to everyone in about a week.
Hey, this is Martin Obando from Geeksters on the Podnuts Network. Thank you so much for listening to the show right now and supporting the Podnuts Network. We can't do it without you. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, something that tickles your fancy you want to ask us about, you can reach out to us at geeksters@podnuts.com. You can always listen to us. We're going to be here all the time trying to figure out what's going on with the world of computers. Hey, don't forget to be grown out there. Thanks, guys.